Okay, y'all, today we're going to be talking about Samuel's call and ministry. We're going to be starting up a new little section in the Sunday school book, talking about the ministry, talking about the calls, all of that. So it's going to be exciting. Praise
God.
Okay, y'all. We're going to start with Samuel's calling ministry.
Yeah.
The lesson text is going to come from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1 through 9, verse 19 and 20, chapter 7, verse 3 through 5, and 10 and 12. So we got a lot to get through, so let's do it, y'all. Let's do it. I'm going to have everybody read first. Starting with just the big.
First Samuel 3 and 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord the Lord of God. And the word of the Lord was precious. First Samuel
3 and 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And then verse 3, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. And Samuel was laid down to sleep. Verse 4, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Hear my voice."
And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he says, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not. My son, lie down again."
Verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child.
Verse 9. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy son appeared.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. 19. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground.
And all of Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be the prophet of the Lord. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, "If ye do return unto the Lord with all your heart, and put away strange gods and strange wrought from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you from out of the hands of the
Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Asherah, and served the Lord only.
And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. For the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines, and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us.
Let's just talk about Couch for a second. Samuel's call and ministry.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if y'all know this, but it says Samuel's call and ministry. It don't say my call and ministry. It don't say Crystal call and ministry. It don't say Minister Glover call and ministry.
Yeah.
But it says Samuel's call and ministry. The thing I love about the title is it's specific.
Uh-huh.
Everybody has different calls, and everybody's called to a different ministry. But the thing to know about ministry is that anything can be ministry.
Yeah.
Singing in the choir is ministry. Singing, the thing about ministry, the awesome thing about it is, it's not always in the church. Even going outside and ministering to someone on the street, that's a ministry. It's all different types of ministry. Because not everybody meant for the same thing. Not everybody's called to do the same thing.
That's right.
And it's as simple as that.
Yeah.
It's whatever a call is, basically anything serving the kingdom of God.
That's right.
If you're serving the kingdom of God, you have a calling. And we all have calling on our lives,
right.
But it's just a matter of, are you going to accept the call?
Okay.
It's like you said, many are called, few are chosen. It's just not just by coincidence. Many are called, many are invited in,
yeah.
But are you going to accept the invitation?
Yes. That's
right. That accepting of the invitation is when you become chosen. Because when you're chosen, and when God has a call in your life, it's not much you can do to really forfeit that call.
That's right.
When he wants you, he wants you.
That's right.
I mean, I'm serious when I say that. When he wants you,
right.
He's going to give you confirmation.
Yes, he will.
And you must have that little feeling. But when he wants you, he's going to give you more than one warning to let you know that he wants you.
Yeah.
Just remember that. Can someone turn to Ephesians 4, 11, and 12?
Hallelujah.
Ephesians 4?
Yes, verse 11 as well.
Ephesians 4, verse 11 and 12.
Oh, come on,
man. And then someone else try to find 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. Chapter 12, verse 28.
Ephesians 4 and 11, he gave some apostles and some prophets,
yeah.
Some evangelists,
yeah.
And some pastors and teachers,
yeah.
For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, right there.
Yeah.
And I don't know if y'all noticed that, but he said, and some,
yeah.
And some.
Yeah.
It don't mean that everybody is called to be a prophet.
Yeah.
It don't mean that everybody called to be a minister, and it definitely don't mean everybody called to be a pastor. It's as simple as that. It says, and some.
Yeah.
But what matters is, it's for the edifying of the body of Christ. The edifying, for the lifting up, for the building up. We should not be tearing down the body of Christ.
That's right.
That's a very important thing. When you tear down the body of Christ, you are literally tearing down a piece of yourself.
That's why.
If you remember that, the Christian church world would be so much better. Because you wouldn't have all that jealousy. It's like we have divisions. And just like Sister Clinton talked about a few weeks,
yeah.
We're not going to have divisions in church.
No.
But you know they're here.
Yeah.
But if you had that mindset where if you break down someone else, you're hurting yourself, oh my Lord. You have such a better ministry,
yeah.
Such a better. We could reach so many more people. And that's a lot of the reason why people don't come in is because they feel judged.
Yeah.
They feel the division. Because you know, when you have a division between people, you have that tension, people feel that. It's not something where it's just you feeling that. When you have something against somebody else, everybody gonna feel that. It's not just you, but y'all like y'all connected. Y'all feel
right.
The same thing.
Right.
Anybody has that other one for me, the Oh, can you read the 13 first?
So we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Unity. That's what matters. It's all about being one. It's power and numbers. Does someone have 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28? Oh,
First Corinthians 28. And God has a place in the church. First of all, apostles. Second prophets. Third teachers. Then miracles. Then gifts of healing. Of hoping, helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues.
Read the next verse. Yeah.
Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now, eager, if you just eager.
Eagerly
desire the greater gift.
Yeah, so that's basically just going back to the point. Not everybody has the same calling, not everybody has the same ministry, but what matters is for the glorifying of the church, for the glorifying of the body, that we Christ be edified. That's a very important thing. Not everybody's called to do the same thing. It's very important that you don't try to take up somebody else's ministry. Some things you can, it's simple as that. If God has called for you, come before you.
Yeah.
If not for you, it's simple as that, it is not for you. Be careful about trying to, it's that envy thing, be really careful about that. You can get yourself in some very bad situations.
Yes.
Yeah, 24/7. The thing about it is, too, is you be really careful about that stepping out thing, because God will give you consequences. And I mean, mind consequences. That's not something you want to do.
That's
why He will have you. I mean, God, that's something you want to not do that. Yeah, do that. That's a consequence. But, so we're going to go ahead and get the lesson. So, I'm going to give you all a little background of Samuel and his mom, Hannah, just a little story. This little story right here, it's kind of like a little soap opera. They got some stuff going on.
Yeah.
I mean, they had some real stuff going on. So we're going to start with Elkanah, Hanina, and Hannah. So Elkanah is Sam's dad. So you have Elkanah, and he has two wives. He has Hanina and he has Hannah. Now you have Hanina over here. She's been giving her children, she's been having her kids. Then you got Hannah, she's barren. So now, of course, they're competing. So you have Hanina going over to her saying, you can't have no kids, I can't have kids. It's just going over and over again. She's teasing. And just, it's like when you have, you can saw a woman, she's just pointing that saw. So now, Hannah's like, this not gonna work out. So Hannah was like, she's been praying. And she prayed that if God would give her a child, that she'd give it back to God. Mm-hmm. So after that, Eli, she went and she was praying. And during this little time, she's it's a time where you're not supposed to be drinking. So she was at this little table. She's praying. And Eli comes up and Eli thinks she's drunk. And Eli asks her, he's like, well, why are you, what's wrong? And then she basically says, I'm in a sad moment. She's saying that she's sad because she doesn't have a child, but she's praying for a child.
Mm-hmm.
So then Eli said, basically tell her, he's like, okay, well, I'm afraid that God answers your prayers. So fast forward a little bit, she gets pregnant. She has Samuel. And so after she wounded him, she gave him back to God.
Right.
Now, that's just the first chapter right there. So now you have the second chapter. The second chapter is talking all about Eli's sons.
Phinehas and Hophni.
They got an issue, y'all. I mean, they were priests. They were priests.
Yeah.
I call them priests.
Yeah.
So they had no respect for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
When they had sacrifices, you know, when a sacrifice, you're supposed to wait till it's kind of roasted, till it's burnt a little bit, till it's roasted.
Yeah.
They would have them go and take the sacrifice off, but while it was still rare, so they can go and roast it and eat. That's a huge sin. God, that's just that you don't do that.
Yeah.
And then after that, they were seducing the young women in the temple.
Uh-oh.
That's another huge thing you don't
do.
That's sin right there. That's like spelling out S-I-N. That's sin.
Yeah, that's right.
That's not right. You're not supposed to seduce somebody in the church like that, first time, especially if you're a priest. That's not okay.
Yeah.
So then after that, so Eli is coming in here too. So Eli, he knew about everything going on. So people were going to him, telling him what's going on. It was that. And then he had not only that, but he had somebody come from God and tell him. And he basically told him, Jesus, that's the scary part. You got to be real careful about what you do and what you allow in your family. But some of that stuff will come on to you because y'all blood.
Yes.
Blood is connected.
Yes.
Y'all remember that.
Yes.
So he said that basically the man of God came and told Eli, he said he would end their promise of the Levite being priest. He told them all members of the family would die before their time. None will reach old age. No member will live out their days ever. You know how long ever is? That's forever. That is not one. And then it says, few may survive only so that their eyes go blind and their hearts break. That's wild. And their children die violent death. And he said, just to show you that I'm telling the truth, both of your sons shall die the same day. Now, you know what? I break down crying. That's just like, that shows you though, when God, when you do something against God, God was not playing in these times, right?
Wow.
He's still not, but God was judgment back then. I mean,
yeah.
he would literally strike you down and say, you do something, you be dead. Blink, you dead. It's nothing to play with. And it's still nothing to play with, but we under the grace dispensation now. We're not under the law. That's something really thank God for that.
Yeah.
A lot of us would be in the ground, 6 feet under, dead.
Yeah.
Simple as that. So we're going to be talking about verse 1. So verse 1 says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. So we're going to start out just with he ministered unto the Lord. So minister in this one right here, minister means serve. So
okay.
Ministry is about serving.
That's right.
All ministry is about. Right?
That's
it's about
right.
Serving. It's about serving the Lord, but it's also about getting that you're fishing for the fish.
Yeah.
So you're supposed to be trying to serve God by doing what He called you to do. Basically.
Right.
So what do you have to in order to do that? What do you have to do? You have to accept the call.
Yeah.
Are you accepting the call?
Yeah.
And sometimes, like Sister Thompson was saying, sometimes you can hear that voice and you'd be like, that's not him. And it's the thing about it is, when he calls you, you're going to know. And like I said before, it gives you confirmation. It can be something where something just pop up.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it's something as simple as you see a word, and then you see a word called at the top, something like that. That's something simple as that, you know you call. Because when you know you're called, God won't show you your call. It's not going to be something where you have a feeling like you're called, but you're not really sure. No, when you know, you may have a little bit of doubt, but you won't know for the most part.
Yeah.
Nobody just go in and come out some, oh yeah, I know I'm ready, I'm excited. No, nobody goes in like that. Most times you have a little bit of doubt, you're like, am I ready? But like at the same time, you know you are.
Yeah.
You have to know your destiny. You have to know what God called you to be. And the thing about it is when you know, oh, it's so much better. It's so much better when you know what you're called to do. Even if it's not necessarily right now, but once you know what God is preparing you for, like Sister said, the preparation time, just knowing that you may not be there yet, but you're going to get there. That's what matters. Because I think one of y'all was saying when you're called, it's nothing you can do to take away from it. It's like, it's going to get there eventually. Now, if you don't, you're going to have the consequences, and you won't deal with some stuff. But eventually, if God really wants you, He's going to get you. He's God. He's an all-powerful God. You can't take away from God. And then it says, after that, it says, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. So it was pretty much, the word of the Lord was rare. And it was rare. I mean, it was rare. It's not like how it is today where you have prophets and prophecies everywhere. It's not like that back in this time. And even if you read in the first 2 chapters, the only time you really hear about God coming, like actually prophesying or somebody prophesying to someone, is when the man of God came to Eli and told him about his sons. That's all you hear in the first 2 chapters. So it shows you that it was rare. And rare means it's not many places. It's, you may hear a word every now and then. But another thing is the word of the Lord in that time was strictly judgment. You hardly ever got anything besides judgment, which you can see in the second chapter. It's judgment. So, and the second one says, and there was no open vision. So that's important. It was, like I said, it was precious and it was rare. Verse 2, and it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax thin that he could not see. So Eli was old at this moment. He's old. So when it says his eyes are waxed dim, everybody probably thought fleshly. He's the one blind. This was a spiritual and physical thing. So because of what his sons were doing, and because of what he knew what his sons were doing, he was being persecuted because of it too. Like I said, when you in that family realm, what you do have an effect on your family members. Because when God can curse you, he can curse the whole family. Like, be really careful about that. Generational curses and stuff, it's not just no reason. You got to be really careful about that. I'm going to take heed. I'm serious. So he said that his eyes began to wax dim. So he was not only losing his sight, but he was losing his gift of prophecy. He was losing the spirit of prophecy. Do you know how serious that is? When God gives you a gift, it's just like if God gives you something and you're not using it, y'all can snatch it away just as simple as he gave it to you. He's an all-powerful God. Y'all have to remember that he's an all-powerful God. He can snatch something away easily, real easily. If you're not using something he gave you, and you being disobedient, he can snatch it away really easy. That's y'all gotta remember that. Okay, then it says, I began to wax dim that he could not see. And the air of the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord. So the lamp of God was basically, so it was like a little piece in the temple. So in the temple, you had like, it was a temple for the priests. And they would pick like these lamps, and the lamps would go throughout the whole night, and when they got close to the morning, they would burn out. So the fact that the lamp was still on, and it says, and the air of the lamp of God went out of the temple of the Lord. So it wasn't out yet, but it was about to go out.
Yeah.
Which shows this was early morning.
Yeah.
Early morning. That's a very important thing, that it was early morning where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. So the ark of God, y'all should know about the ark of God.
Yeah.
It represented God's presence. So the ark of God was really important during that time, because even if someone touched it, he would fall down and die.
Mm-hmm.
It represented God's presence,
yeah.
The Lord's presence.
That's right.
So then it said that Samuel was laid down to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
He was laid down to sleep. Notice this, he wasn't moving, he wasn't active, he wasn't just moving around. He was laid down to sleep, he was still.
Mm-hmm.
We got to learn how to just sit still and listen to God sometimes. So many times, we got this little issue where we like to just, we talking, and we say, God, why aren't you speaking to me? God, why can't I hear you?
But how can someone talk when you over there blabbing your mouth?
Like, if I'm talking to Minister Weber right now, I'm just going. Say something. I'm just going.
How can I hear what he's saying if I'm standing moving my mouth? Because you're going to be so focused on what you're saying, you can't hear what God's saying. You have to be really careful about what you have to learn how to listen. Sometimes in prayer, we have to learn how to just sit there and just sit and listen.
If you'd be surprised if God can tell you, you just sit and listen. And then another thing about that is, we have to learn how to sometimes, instead of just going to God for stuff, sometimes just go to God and just thank him for what he's done.
Mm-hmm.
Just thank him for what he's done. He's done so much, but we're ungrateful. We don't even think about the thing that he just got us out of. He literally just got you out of this, and you already on to the next step. It's like, well, that didn't matter. But you was over there praying for that for 3 years. But you moving on. That's not how it's supposed to work. You're supposed to be giving God praise on a daily. And matter of fact, you should try to give me praise on the hourly.
Hallelujah, y'all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Every minute. Y'all trying to get what y'all need. Y'all better do what y'all came down here for. And then it says that with the ark of God was, Samuel was laid down to sleep. That the Lord called Samuel and he answered, "Hear mine." The thing about that cost is, a lot of people, they say, "Oh yeah, I'm ready for it. And then you get that costume, you have, well, I don't know about it. And like I said before, you can't get back out of it once you start it. That's the tricky part, because you don't know what the cost is going to be. So you get in it, you got to be ready for what that cost is. Like I said, a lot of people get in and they like, "Oh yeah, I'm about to do this. And they get in and they like, "Oh no, I don't want that cost." They try to step out and the cost broke. So you got you gotta contemplate it a little bit. But you have to make sure that you do what God calls you to do. That's just the main point. If you don't get nothing out of the lesson, just know, accept your calling. Accept your calling.
Yeah.
But if he's calling you for it, you meant for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was watching something this week, and I saw that they said, beloved, you are packaged. You are packaged. A lot of times people think they're unworthy of what they're called for.
That's right.
And when they feel like they're unworthy for the calling, they can't actually accept the calling because they feel they shouldn't be going into that calling. But if you know that you came down here packaged and with everything that you have, you're like, Pastor Weber always says, what you have it already. What you need, you already have it. You already have it. You came down here packaged. God, when he sent you into your mother's womb, you was packaged.
Yeah.
All it took was the preparation to get you where you're supposed to be going.
That's right.
Just remember that. It's the preparation for what matters. In verse 4, the Lord called Samuel, and he answered him. That right there. Ooh, probably y'all. The Lord called, and he answered. Here am I.
Yeah.
Y'all, if we can just have that little moment where God calls you, you just say, here am I. Things will be so much better. Oh my gosh. If you just say, here am I. Here am I. Think about those words. Here am I. Here I am.
Yeah.
I'm surrendering. Here I am.
Yeah.
Here I am. Take it cool. Here I am.
Yeah.
And we had those little moments. We could have such a better relationship with God, but we don't do that. We do quite the opposite, actually. We the kind of people we be like, well, you get the call and you say, 10 minutes, God. And you done. And then you be like, you come back with 10 minutes, you be like, it's been 10 minutes, what's going on? Give me 30 minutes, I'll be back. That's not how it's supposed to work.
No.
Don't you know you serve an all-powerful God? And I'm going to keep saying it throughout the lesson. We serve an all-powerful God.
Oh,
an all-powerful God. To be able to serve at his feet.
Oh.
Think about that. To be able to serve at an all-powerful God's feet.
Yeah.
Like even when she touched the hem of his garment. Think about that. To be able to serve him.
Yes.
Just getting chill thinking about that. To be able to serve. To be able to serve an all-powerful God. But yeah, you can serve at your job, but you can't serve him. You can serve men, but you can't serve God. You can accept the scam might be called, but you can't accept the call from God.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
That's
you know you might be a scam, but you still can ask. But you know God has your best intentions, but you're like, no, I don't want that. That's
all right. All right.
That's interesting.
Help us.
All right. So verse 5. And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I. Right there. I just want to let y'all know real quick. A lot of times people think God's voice is that, hello, child. Empowering child. I'm calling you. No, God. I'm telling y'all now.
Yeah.
Most times, when you hear God's voice, it's going to be someone that you know and someone that you are close with. Like Minister Glover says sometimes, he hear a Pastor Glover voice. It's like you hear someone you're close with. You hardly ever hear that little dub that, hello, how are you? Like, no. No, and when people understand that, y'all can understand God so much clearer. Because you have to know the difference between your own self speaking and his voice speaking.
That's right.
And it's not something that you just kind of pick up, but as you go along, you it's the relationship. It's relationship. That's very important. Relationship is very important. Yeah. That voice is very serious. That's sometimes that it can be tricky sometimes too. Because sometimes being able to contemplate which one is you actually hearing, like are you actually hearing yourself or are you hearing God? It can be tricky sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, it's just the point that you have to know God's voice.
Yeah.
But another thing is that God has to come to you in that alone, child, because sometimes you're gonna be scared.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need to hear that comforting voice that you know, okay, it's a voice I'm used to, it's a voice I'm close to. So you don't be over there freaking out and you be running away from the call just because of the voice. Right?
Yeah.
God knows you. God knows your heart and God knows your fears. Simple as that. And then he said, he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I call not. Right there, y'all, he said, I call not. I call not. That shows you that men don't call you. It's God that calls you.
It's God.
I call not. So that means I didn't call Minister Lane to be a minister. Pastor Glover didn't call her to be a minister, God called her to be a minister.
That's right.
Same with Minister Glover, same with Pastor Glover. That's an important thing to know is that men don't call you, but God calls you.
That's right.
So when God calls you, no one can take that away. That's a, like you said, that's a relationship. Relationships, when a relationship goes, you can't just take something away like that. No person should be able to come in the middle of a relationship.
That's
if it's strong enough.
That's right.
No one should be able to do that.
That's right.
No one should be able to do that.
Right.
You have to develop that relationship. You have to make that relationship strong.
That's right.
Because if you don't, you're going to be able to run away. Like if someone says, I don't think you're supposed to be a minister. I don't think that's supposed to be right. Your head going to go, oh, maybe I'm not supposed to be a minister. But when you know what you call for, and you know what God has for you, no one can take that away from you. That's something you know, no matter what happens, you have that relationship. You have that call. It may not be for this moment in time right now, but it's going to happen eventually. It's the preparation of getting you there. Sometimes preparation can be years, it can be months, but you have to just know that you're going to get there eventually.
Yeah.
That's right. Because when God calls you, no one can take it away from you.
That's right.
Verse 5. But thou callest me, and he said, I call not. Lie down again, and he went and lay down. And another thing about this is, Samuel was obedient, y'all.
Yeah.
Samuel was obedient. So just think about this. Your mama or your grandma, it's like, let's say it's like 5 o'clock in the morning, and your mama and your grandma come in there, you hear a voice, and you think it's your mom and your grandma. How many of y'all would actually get up and go check to see what they said? Let's be honest, like, honestly. They calling you or something. You think they calling you. I don't know y'all. 5 o'clock in the morning, I do not doubt. Well, I'm not maybe going to be up, I don't know. But my point is, it's just a matter of, I don't know if I'd be able to just get up like that. That's like a, but that shows he had obedience. He was trained up in obedience.
Yeah.
But it also shows you that Eli was used to that because Eli was kind of older. So he had to be at his canon, he just ready for it, whatever he needed, because he was older.
Right.
He was training him because he was a servant for Eli.
Mm-hmm.
He was serving God by serving Eli. That's important.
Mm-hmm.
So he was obedient. He was obedient. Remember that. Obedience is a really important thing in this lesson, y'all.
Yeah.
Obedience.
Yes.
But he said, I call him, I lie down again. He went and lay down. He even went and lay back down after telling him, I called you not. And then he said, the Lord called yet again Samuel. Samuel rose and went to Eli. So now that, y'all, he didn't just get up once, he got up twice.
Mm-hmm.
After that first time, and he said, he called me, I was like, no way.
Yeah.
I don't know, y'all. Because that's like, if I was like, you want to get your best sleep too?
Yeah.
It's like, now, come on now. And then I think at this point, he looked at him like, and you just say in common, like, what's up? What's wrong? You okay? And then what did he say? He said, and Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I call not, my son. Lie down again. Lie down again. And he went back and lay down. Mm. Good job, Samuel. Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, right there.
Wow.
Samuel did not yet know the Lord.
Yeah.
What does yet mean, y'all?
It's coming.
It's coming. He may not have known him yet, but whatever he was about to encounter, he was going to know the Lord when he was done. That's a very important word, yet know the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. So it's as simple as this. So he had to know of God because he worked with the priest. He worked with the prophet. He worked with Eli. So he knew of God. But once you get the relationship with God, there's nothing that can take that away from y'all. I'm going to keep saying that. It's nothing that can take that away from y'all. Because you can know of God, but not know God.
Yeah.
It's just like I may know of the president, but I don't know the president. But when you know the president, you have extra benefits. Holy benefits. Holy benefits. My God. My God. And then it says, okay, he answered, I call not my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not get to know the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I. So y'all, not once, not twice.
Yeah.
Three times.
Yeah.
Three times. It took him three times.
Mm.
Three times. But he got up out of his bed, out of his sleep three times. And he rose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. Every time his answer was the same, here am I. That's a real servitude attitude. A servitude attitude. Nowadays, we use the attitude. We don't have servitude in front of it. It's just attitude. He had a serving attitude. All he wanted was to serve Eli so he could serve God.
Yeah.
That's important. And then it says, and he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt speak, Lord, for thy servant hearing. Now this should show you right here. People always think, oh, no, I don't need nobody in my life. I just need God. You do need God. You need God. But you have to know that God works through people.
That's right.
Like Pastor Wilber always talked about the guy hanging off the cliff. They sent, a boat, a plane, and somebody literally grabbed it up, and he's like, no, I'm waiting on God. God works through people. So if you think about this, the first thing I want to say is obedience. If he was not obedient and went to Eli, he wouldn't have known that that was God calling. But if he would have only went to him the first time and ignored him the second, last two times, he wouldn't have known. But Eli didn't catch it yet. If he would have went to Eli only the first two times, and didn't go the third time, he wouldn't have caught it. Because Eli didn't catch it yet. God does stuff in his time. That's important. It's in his time. You think God did that on accident when he wanted him to hear it the first time? No, God knew
what he was doing.
God makes no mistakes. God makes no mistakes. So he said on the third time. But it's important to know that you have to listen to your elders, y'all. That's a very important thing. But they tell you, they know what they belong in. That's a very important thing. You have to listen. And it's your elders, but you have to listen sometimes. Because even sometimes God will send you, and they will come and tell you something. But you have to test the Spirit by the Spirit.
Yeah.
Sometimes God, you got to test the Spirit by the Spirit. Some people come to you for stuff, and it's not of God.
Yeah.
You have to use your discernment. Discernment is very key. Because if you don't use that discernment, you go do something. Like someone, let's say someone tell you to go move out your apartment if you have an apartment somewhere else. And you don't use that discernment. You're with somebody of the devil. Now you outside in your car because you didn't use your discernment. That's a very important thing. You have to make sure you test the Spirit by the Spirit. Test who's telling you stuff. And even when you listen to stuff, you have to make sure you're listening to the right thing.
That's right.
Discernment is very key.
Right.
That's important too, because we have to learn how not to focus on the pastor so much.
That's right.
But sometimes, y'all, we be going to the pastor too much prayer sometimes. You need to learn how to pray for yourself. That's a very important thing. And intercessory prayer, that's good. But I mean, God want to hear from you too. I mean, you can't be going to the pastor every time you get a little split in the thing. I mean, you need to learn how to go and set yourself up for prayer. You gonna have to get that together. You can't. And then another thing too is godly counsel. Godly counsel is very important. Eli was his godly counsel.
Yeah.
You have to have people that you know are in God. After you use that discernment, once you know, you have to be able to stick by them a little bit too, because you have to know that that's your godly counsel. That's people that's going to have your best interest at heart. But also, they want you to do what's best for the glory of God. That's important. That is very important. Another thing is you talking about the call too. A lot of people don't realize that most times you have more than a call.
Yeah.
And I mean, people don't understand even the small things about calling. You can be called to a wife or a husband.
Yeah.
You can be called to simply your job, like Sister Diego was talking about. You can be called to, let's say you may be called for a cashier because you're good with people, and that's your chance to minister. It's simple. Sometimes we overthink the call. Most times we overthink the call.
Yeah.
But another thing I want to say is, just like God has a call, the devil has one too.
Yeah.
Because what the devil loves to mimic what God does.
That's right.
So if God has a call, of course the devil will have a call too. And I mean, it's evident in the world.
Yes, it is.
And I hate to say it, but it seems like people are answering the wrong call. Be careful about which call you answer. And
right.
You know if it's of God, if it's something that's going to glorify or edify the body of Christ, it's of God. Because guess what? The devil don't want the body to be built up. Because if it's built up, I think we can fight him harder.
Right.
So if it's something that's going to build up the body of Christ, you know it's of God. If it's an encouraging word, it must be from God. Now, if you hear something saying, go tell them shut up, they know you're right. And I don't know about that one. Because God do that sometimes too, so be careful about that. But at the same time, if you hear somebody go tell them, go punch them in the face, now you know that's the devil. You know it's the devil. And most times we know it, but sometimes our flesh just kind of give in and be like, okay, we don't believe you anyway. You gotta beat the flesh daily. But the flesh be trying to rise. And I mean, it really do. Especially when they have little testing moments, especially if the job. When that little testing moment, that little testing person might come up, and you got to remember who you are in Christ. If you testing, but you have to remember who you are in Christ.
Yeah.
And just a simple prayer. And sometimes you got to say, Jesus, 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 Jesus.
That's right.
Don't say it out loud. If you got to say it out loud, say it out loud.
Yeah.
But just walk away. Do what God has called you to do.
Yeah.
Walk away. Okay. Anyway, so, that was verse 9. Therefore, Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak the word for thy servant to yourself. So I'm just going to read verse 10. I'm already in the NLT version. And the Lord came and called after 4, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied, speak, your servant is listening. So he was obedient, y'all. He said, he did exactly what Eli told him to do. That's important.
Yeah.
Then the Lord said to Samuel, I am about to do a shocking thing in Israel. I am going to carry out all my threats against Eli and his family from beginning to end. I have warned him that his judgment is coming upon his family forever because his sons have blasphemed God. And he hasn't disciplined them. He hasn't disciplined them. That shows you that we are brothers keepers. So if you know somebody doing something they're not going to do, like Pastor Glover said a few weeks ago, sometimes you need to go ahead and call them out for it. Because especially if God is telling you to do it, you're ignoring it.
That's right.
But only if you spirit led.
That's right.
That's important.
Mm.
Only if you are spirit led.
Mm.
Don't just go over there talking about some popular things.
Mm.
No, that's not spirit led. Spirit led, when it's spirit led, you don't know what spirit led. When you feel that unction, that spiritual unction, because you try to edify the body of Christ, not break down the body of Christ, that's when you do it. That's important. Don't just be going around trying to break the people down because you feel you're better than everybody else. That's important. That's very important. But then it says, so I have vowed that the sins of Eli and his sons will never be forgiven by sacrifice through offerings. Then it says, Samuel stayed in bed until morning, then got up and opened the door to the tabernacle as usual. He was afraid to tell Eli what the Lord had said to him. But Eli called out to him, Samuel, my son. Here I am, Samuel replied. He's still saying, here I am. He looks here. He's still saying, here I am. What did the Lord say to you? Tell me everything. And may God strike you and even kill you if you hide anything from him. So Samuel told Eli everything. He didn't hold anything back. It is the Lord's will, Eli replied. Let him do what he thinks best. My God. My God. As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him, and everything Samuel proved to be reliable. So this is verse 19, where it says, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. So y'all, this is right here, that's important, right? That's really important. So he said he let none of his words fall to the ground.
Wow.
When you're called, when you're truly called, God's not going to have you, he's not going to have you fail in your calling. So like I said, he packaged you already. Everything you need is already there. And everything, that's what I'm saying, everything you need is already there. If you can just understand that, everything you need is already there. Don't boast in yourself, but boast in the Lord. Because he has provided everything you need. Jehovah Jireh. He has provided, oh wow.
Yeah.
That's important, y'all. That's important. It says he let none of his words fall to the ground. And it's just like I was talking about a few weeks ago, when you have that cup overflowing, he had none of that oil touch the ground. And everything he said came to pass. Mm-hmm. That means nothing he said was false.
That's right.
Nothing he said was false.
That's right.
Nothing God said was false.
That's right.
Because it's not him doing it, but it's the God in him speaking. That's important. God, it's the God in him speaking. Nothing he said was false. That's important. God's not going to have you fail at something that he called you to do. Because he wants the best for y'all. He's your Alpha. He's your daddy.
What kind of
want to think about God as your dad, that's where the relationship grows so much. It grows deeper. He's your dad. He's your Alpha.
Yeah.
Like a mom. Alpha father.
Yes.
That's a major thing. Think about him as your. You have a fleshy dad.
Yeah.
But you have a spiritual dad.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That's a major thing. Yes. A God that sits high and looks low.
Yes.
That's major.
Yes.
That's wow. How can you not praise God? A God that sits high and looks low.
Hallelujah.
He's watching no matter what you're doing.
All right.
Hallelujah.
He's always watching.
Yeah.
A dad in the flesh can only look so far. He
yeah.
Can't see
but God.
But God. God is always watching. When you over there sitting in your corner crying, he's the one talking to you when no one else is watching. When you at your job, just so you know you're not supposed to be doing, he's the one that's going to give you that conviction of the Holy Spirit. All those things are important. He's Abba Father. He's God. An all-powerful God. That's very important.
Yeah.
And it says after that, in all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba, you let the Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. So even if you look in the NLT version, let me read it real quick. So y'all can really listen. And all Israel from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. When God calls you to do something, everybody will know about it. You know, God will elevate you.
Yeah.
And even in your status, most times when you come from, when you're called to do something specifically or something, you may not always be in the group. A lot of times you set apart. That's what you just secluded for such a time as this. Mm-hmm. You may be secluded. You may not have all the friends in the world, but you know you got God. Like Sister Crystal said last week, that's a ride or die.
Yeah.
Ride or die.
Right.
I'm still thinking that's a good one. Ride or die.
Right.
I'm using that this week. but yeah, that's very important. Everybody knew. Everybody knew. Because he don't only confirm it with you, but he confirms it with the people around him.
That's right.
He's a confirmational job, a confirmational God. Like, hallelujah. Wow. He confirms it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, that's verse 20. Just real quick, I'm going to verse chapter 7, verse 3.
So it says, and Samuel spake unto the house of Israel, saying, if you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange God and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hands of those times. Now this verse right here, y'all, is deep. It's deep, it's deep. It's real deep. Because we have to remember, we have to repent. We got to repent. So, in this verse, you have, so you have to understand that God is a jealous God. And he's a jealous God. I mean, he is a jealous God. You have none before him. So he says, we have, so right there it says, and Samuel spake unto the house of Israel, saying, if you do return unto the Lord with all your heart. So it was for the repentance to actually come through, they had step they had to do. So the first thing they had to do was they had to return to the Lord with all their hearts. So that don't mean you got to go to God with just a portion of the heart, but you have to go to God full-heartedly. You got to completely submerge yourself in the Holy Spirit. You can't just be going up there talking about something. Well, God, I'm going to give you like 3/4 of my heart, but the devil still got 1/4.
You can't do that. You can't do that. Like Mr. Level was talking, he preached about it a few weeks. You got to come empty to God. Empty. You got to ask God to empty out all that other stuff. Because if you think about it, you have 3/4 full of just the devil and Satan in the world, and then you only have 1/4 of God, you can't really access that full relationship with God because you're hindered. You have hindrances. You have distractions. You have to come to God empty. You have to come to God wanting. Even when he knocks on that on your heart, you got to be open and say, God, take me. That's your, just like Samuel said, here am I. Here am I. Here I am. Simple as that. You got to just give it. Give it all to God. Even that, like you say, let go, let God. That's important. Let go. Let go of all that stuff. And let God deal with you. And then after that, it says, and then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you. So right there, Ashtaroth is the Canaanite goddess of war and fertility. So that means when during this little time, so let me tell you a little bit about what happened in between too. So in chapter 4, the Ark of the Covenant is taken by the Philistines after they lost the war. And then in chapter 5, Dagon was destroyed. Let me go back to chapter 4. Eli's sons, they both died. Eli's daughter-in-law, she died giving birth to Ichabod. So that all that right there shows you that what God said came to pass. All his family, they died early deaths. That shows you right there. Chapter 5, Dagon is destroyed by God. Chapter 6, the Philistines return the ark. So now we're in chapter 7. So in chapter 7, they had been without God for a little while. The Ark of the Covenant had been there. So and then the Ark of the Covenant had almost been, it had been gone for a while. So after that point, it got to the point then where it was like, okay, well, we need to get stuff together. So they had been yearning for God because they hadn't had him for such a long time. So in this little point, it shows you that you have to get your idols away. So even with your idols, that comes with people, that comes with cars, that comes with money. A lot of people look at people, like sometimes even we look at Pastor Glover and we'd be like, he's my idol. He's like the one that I'm going to get to God through. But you can't ride Pastor Glover back to heaven. That's not how that works. You have to be able to look at your own, have a personal relationship. It's about one-on-one time. But you can't have two-on-one like that. It's fun to be that one-on-one. When you go to God and you're about to get judged, you're kind of about to have him and you say something like, well, I learned I was with him. I'm with him. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
Even when you go to the club, think about it. You have a bouncer. You try to be like, I'm with them. But if your name ain't on that certain list, you're not in. You're not going to get in there. That's not how it works. And heaven gonna be 10 times greater. Right. Heaven is heaven. I mean, think about it. Right. You think you're gonna go up to an all powerful God and be like, oh yeah, I'm with them. I'm in there. No, that ain't how that works. You better get your stuff together. You better get your house in order because God is coming. Jesus is coming back. And if you don't get your stuff in order by the time you get back, you're gonna be stuck here.
That's right. Run.
But be careful. You better be careful. That stuff ain't nothing to play with. You have to make sure you have a personal relationship. Because so many times we focus on other people. And we focus on our cars, we focus on the money, we focus on all this other stuff, but you can't take that stuff with you. That stuff will be left right here for someone else to get.
That's right.
While you up there about to get judged because you're so focused on that, and you about to be on your way to, you know what I'm about to say.
Yeah.
And then it says, and prepare your heart to the Lord and serve him only. Serve him only.
Yeah.
You got to serve God only. Serve God full-hearted. You can't have, like I said, you can't have half-heart on this side and half-heart on this side. You can't be either one.
Yeah.
Like, if y'all seen War Room, I don't know if y'all seen the scene where she's, how do you like your coffee? And she's like, oh, I like it hot. But she was saying that she didn't know if she talked about it sometimes, but she don't talk about it at the same time. So the lady gave her a cup of coffee that was lukewarm. It was in the middle. And she said, you like your coffee room temperature? And she said, no, you said that's how you like it. Do you like your God room temperature? I mean, think about it. How do you want your God to be the all-powerful God? Or you want the little him down there? I mean, think about it. You have the little imp, and then you got an all-powerful God. God is fine. I mean, if you can just see the throne is all, it's 10 times bigger than this world. And then you got the little imp that looks like a little bubble that you can squish. Which one you want? Which one you want to have be? You want to be in? I mean, think about that. You got to really consider that stuff. That stuff is important. And then it says, and he will deliver you out of the hands of the sun. So it just shows you that after you did your repentance, after you follow what God says, once you're obedient, God can do some stuff for you. Because I don't know if y'all know, but before this, they had just lost the little son. That's how they got the Ark of the Covenant. That's how it was lost, because they lost the little son. So because they had did all that other stuff, their hearts were hardened.
Yeah.
Then it said the children of Israel did put away the Baal and Asherah and serve the Lord only. So they were obedient. That's important. They were obedient to what he said. And then it says, and as Samuel was offering up the burnt offerings, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discombined them, and they were smitten before Israel. But, okay, so basically what happens is, while they're up there at Mizpah means watchtower pretty much. So they're up there at Mizpah, and while they're there, the Philistines come up. So when they come up, they're ready to battle because they knew that that they were going to be there. So Mizpah is a watchtower. And they have seen multiple, like, reoccurrences of Mizpah being somewhere that it was to watch the enemy pretty much. So it's a watchtower. So basically, the Philistines come up. When the Philistines come up, what happens is the Israelites, they're there. And when they're there, they see them coming. They ask Samuel, like, Samuel, please intercede for us. So he intercedes and he offers the land, or he offers his burnt offering. When he's offering it, this is when after they did their repentance, they had fasted for the full day. They had poured out their water to God. So they had did all these things to worship God, because they were trying to get it back. After this time, they had a yearning. They were trying to get it back. Mm-hmm. So after they got it back, what basically happens is, he sends a great thunder and lightning. It's going everywhere. And when they did this, it caused the Philistines to be, they got scared. They got confused. They were like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. So when they did that, it caused the Israelites to go and chase them and kill them. Mm-hmm. Now, what does that say? Now, the first time when you were so busy focusing on the devil, you got beat. But when you focus on God, how can you lose? Think about that.
Yeah.
When you focus on God, how can you lose?
Yeah.
When they focus on God, they fasted, they prayed, they repented. That's amazing. When you focus on God, how can you lose?
Right.
Wow, my God. And then and Samuel took a stone and set it between this foot and shin and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Give the season that's the void of this." So y'all gotta remember, y'all have to have remembrance of all the things God has done. God has done so much for you, but we're ungrateful people. We come out of one thing, and when we come out of that one thing, we automatically come out, so let's move on to the next. Mm-hmm. But you have to give God no praise for what he just did.
Mm-hmm.
You have to really have that remembrance. So they set up this thing, so anytime they came by, they would remember what God did in this book. And I'm done. I'm sorry about that. But, I praise God. I'm done.